Good afternoon, you're listening to Campus K News for Monday, July 6th. I'm Taylor Heckert. Petersburg's Borough Assembly last month unanimously approved two separate tower-related proposals. One, a land sale. The other, a zoning update. The move comes after the Assembly rejected each measure at the prior meeting. Campus K's Olivia Rose has more on the reversal vote.
Petersburg's Assembly has agreed to sell a piece of borough-owned land near the town's fire hall to Tidal Network, the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska's broadband company. The roughly 10,000 square foot parcel is being sold to the company for $45,000, its assessed value. The borough has been negotiating sale terms with Tidal Network since last September. Tidal Network plans to build a communications tower on the property. The tower issue is controversial. It gained traction among community members over the past several months, adding hours of public testimony, work sessions about towers, and searching for alternative sites to put the company's tower on. The Assembly initially rejected the sale, but reconsidered it on June 15th. Assemblymember James Valentine said the decision was a tough one.
It gives me like heartburn trying to figure out what the best move is. We have a lot of public input, and I respect that. We have people that have showed up here every single meeting giving different views and things like this for us to think about. And I mean, that is huge.
Several residents testified against selling the land to Tidal Network for its tower project. A number of them urged assembly members to base their votes on facts, not fear.
I'm not fearful. I've heard fear 15 times.
That's Assemblymember Rob Schwartz.
It's concerning. Irritating, but I don't want to see it on top of someone's house. I voted no last time, but probably vote yes this time.
He did, and so did the other assembly members, unanimously reversing their decision to sell the property by the fire hall.
I think it is the best location.
It's the least bad of all the bad places, and I don't think it's really that bad.
It's not a terrible spot, and I'm no longer opposed.
When I look at other places in that general area, this piece I'm comfortable with.
That last voice is Assemblymember Jeff Mucci. He flipped his vote from June 1st because a separate tower-related measure was also brought back and approved on the 15th. That proposal is a 17-page zoning ordinance to update Petersburg's regulations for wireless communication facilities. If adopted, the new regulations would require certain development standards, permits, and setback distances for towers. Assemblymember Mucci supported the ordinance.
Without this in place to help us sort out all these different things that are coming towards the community, it makes me very, very nervous.
The measure was developed over several months in response to public concern about new tower plans, including Tidal Network's. It's a new, lightly revised version of one that died in a tied vote. The Assembly made a few more changes to it during the meeting, which, for the most part, added language for clarification or removed some phrases for clarity or consistency, but also shortened certain setback distances by 1,000 feet. Assemblymember Scott Newman was in favor of shorter setbacks and said he recently realized that
this ordinance is extraordinarily restrictive.
He said being too restrictive risks violating federal law, and reducing the setbacks would give the companies more buildable space and the borough more wiggle room to comply.
And while I agree this is not perfect, I think we're a lot farther ahead than we were previously.
Vice Mayor J. Stanton Greger agreed shorter setbacks were a step closer to federal compliance, but he said he was very against the proposal returning so quickly.
Instead of just doing something, I want to make sure we do the right thing. That's why I voted no in the previous one. I thought it was riddled with major federal holes. I would rather have this gone further through legal counsel, potentially through FCC counsel.
He said he still had serious concerns, but would vote yes so the ordinance could continue on for a public hearing. Assemblymember Mucci said getting feedback is part of the process.
I am comfortable with this ordinance at this point, and I imagine that we'll be hearing from some people who aren't comfortable and who might want some changes, and for me, that's just part of the process here.
The Assembly passed the new zoning proposal unanimously, moving it forward for another round of deliberation at its next meeting. Reporting in Petersburg, I'm Olivia Rose.
Petersburg's Borough Assembly tonight will continue considering the ordinance for regulating towers and hold a public hearing. A recording of the June 15th meeting is available on our website, kfsk.org. The assembly meets tonight at 6 o'clock in the assembly chambers. KFSK will broadcast that meeting live. Southeast Alaska trawlers are on the water. The commercial king salmon fishery opened on July 1st. In the first king opener of the season, trawlers can catch just over 81,000 Chinook salmon, roughly 70% of the allocated summer kings. The allocation is set by the Pacific Salmon Commission under the terms of the Pacific Salmon Treaty between the U.S. and Canada. A press release from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game said fisheries biologists anticipate trawlers will take 7 to 10 days to catch the 81,000 Chinook. That estimate is based on summer harvest rates in previous years with a similar amount of fish. The fishery typically opens a second time in August for trawlers to target the remaining treaty kings. Pets give people companionship and unconditional love, but sometimes there are more pets than there are people who want them. That's what's happening in Anchorage, where nearly 20 parakeets need homes after a man let his birds mate and then gave them up. And as Alaska Public Media's Hannah Floor reports, while it's always been difficult to find birds' new homes, it's getting harder as Alaska's population ages.
Parakeet cages fill a room in a modest house in South Anchorage. The birds are big fans of country music. Well, maybe any music. Their foster mom, Karen Rappi, doesn't actually give them a choice.
They get country and that's it.
Rappi is retired and has fostered parakeets for years, but right now she has more than usual. She says that's because one man decided to let his birds mate uncontrolled.
You start out with two or four and pretty soon you're pushing 50.
It's part of a larger problem. It's getting increasingly hard to find homes for cage birds like cockatoos and parakeets and macaws. But the situation is not entirely new. People get those birds without realizing quite how loud they are or how high maintenance they can be. But now the problem is getting worse because in Anchorage and around the state, the senior population has more than doubled in the last 15 years. When older people go into assisted living or die or even just move, their birds often need a new home. Rappi says that's what happened with the original owner of those 48 parakeets. He moved down south. She found homes for the first batch of 20 earlier this year. They were babies, she says. Cute. Easy to adopt out. She's working through the rest now, but it's slow going. The parakeet market is flooded, she says. Amber Morris is with the Alaska Bird Club. It helps rescue and rehome cage birds like macaws and cockatiels. She says the man called the club asking for help rehoming the parakeets when he realized he couldn't keep them.
Birds' owners are leaving them not necessarily by choice.
She says in the past, the club mostly rehomed birds from young people when they went away to school or got remarried. But over the last decade, more and more elders are giving up their birds. And she says it's an issue everywhere.
It's not just our populace in Alaska that's getting older. And so there are a lot of people who are, you know, relinquishing birds. There are a lot of homeless birds.
She says the bigger birds can live a long time, 80 to 90 years. That's a lot of life left when elderly people can't take care of their parrots or cockatiels anymore. When a bird needs a new home, the club writes up what Morris calls a singles ad. Sometimes that's easy. The bird is beautiful and cuddly and has a sparkling personality. Sometimes it's not. The thing about birds, Morris says, is they're a very specific type of pet. They're messy.
Birds don't have lips, and so whenever they eat, food goes everywhere.
Some parrots can scream really loudly. In your house, she says, not so fun. But Morris says for the right person, they're a wonderful pet.
Parrots are beautiful. It makes you look a little less crazy when you talk to a pet that actually can talk back to you. They can be very snuggly. They're very interesting to watch.
They're great imitators. They might cry like a baby or offer to take the dog for a walk. It's important to find the right fit, Morris says. They can have strong personalities, like the African gray parrot a few years ago that just hated women, a real misogynist. But it worked out, she says, because soon afterward, a gay couple applied to adopt a parrot. Perfect fit. Morris says, generally, she worries less about the parakeets. They're easier to rehome because they're a great starter bird. Less loud, less messy, less commitment in terms of lifespan. Their beaks can draw blood, but just a little, not like a bigger bird's can. Those bigger birds, cockatoos and macaws and African gray parrots, they're the hardest, Morris says. They are not starter birds. That's especially true when they've been living with someone for a really long time, like when older people die or have to give up their birds. Sometimes those birds just can't be rehomed, Maura says. That's what keeps her up at night, worrying.
The birds that need homes that... See, now I'm getting emotional. that we won't be able to find homes for. That might end up in really bad situations.
She's thinking about the birds she's seen living in dark garages, in closets with the door shut. But Rappy says, for these parakeets at least, it won't come to that.
You know, eventually homes will come, I'm hoping.
If not, she says, they can stay with her forever. In Anchorage, I'm Hannah Flohr.
Nearly 20 years ago, a California couple set out to play a game of croquet on the lawn of every state capital. They visited Juneau last month to complete their quest. Except, there's no lawn at Alaska's capital. No grass, even. So how do you play croquet? KTOO's Jamie Deep finds out.
Ashton Buswell cheers on a rainy Saturday morning as his sister hits a croquet ball at the state capitol building in Juneau. His family set up the game in a bit of an unconventional spot. While croquet is typically played on a lawn, the Alaska State Capitol lacks one. Instead, the family settled for a mossy patch between the building's parking garage and back entrance. But a few minutes into the game, Capitol security stopped them and said they weren't allowed to play there. So they pivoted to playing outside the Juneau Douglas City Museum across the street. There's actually a lawn there.
This is a real course. Should we come down off the flat a little bit, maybe put the last wicket like...
The game continues with Buswell, his two sisters, and his wife taking turns to push balls through small wire gates called wickets. Their parents watch under the cover of the parking garage across the street. This is more than a game of croquet. It marks the end of a nearly 20-year-long quest to play croquet on the lawn of every state capital in Washington, D.C. Buswell says the idea originates decades ago, pre-marriage, when he played croquet while visiting Idaho's state capital. Years later, when he was going to get married, he floated the idea to add a croquet set to their wedding registry. His fiance at the time, now Lydia Buswell, upped the ante.
He told me the story about playing croquet, you know, on the state capitol, and jokingly I was like, well, if someone actually buys this for us for our registry, then we can play on all the capitals.
And I was like, yes, that's a great idea.
And someone actually bought us a croquet set for our wedding gift. And so I was like, okay, that's it.
Ashton Buswell's job back then took them to Sacramento, which felt like a great start. He says being a door-to-door salesman took them all over the country. They plotted ways to visit as many state capitals as possible on work trips and managed to reach 47 states in 4 years. Capitals in Hawaii, North Dakota, and Michigan required special trips. His two sisters joined them for the game in Juneau, their last state capital. Here's one of the sisters, Whitney Buswell.
It's been something kind of a lore in the family about them going and playing croquet on all the capitol lawns. So amazing to be part of this historic day for them to finish and accomplish the goal.
During this 20-year quest, the Buswells did other travel too. About a decade went by where they didn't visit any capitals. Then Ashton Buswell says his parents planned a cruise to Alaska to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary, taking croquet into consideration.
There was a couple of options that didn't have Juneau in it. And he said, nope, we have to go to Juneau because he wanted to make sure that we could get our 50th capital.
He says his dad is an inspiration to making the trip to every capital. His dad also completed a 50-state journey earlier this year. Instead of croquet, he got haircuts in every state. The Buswells included family and friends in a couple of other states. Ashton Buswell says a couple of their four children joined them for one of the games in a different state. The couple says their next goal might be to play croquet at each national park and take more of their kids along for the ride. Ashton Buswell says he hopes their kids also find their own adventure to go on. Lydia Buswell wants them to enjoy whatever fun journey they end up on.
And nothing is too silly. Like, nothing is too stupid. Nothing is too beneath you to try, and especially if it's just for fun, you know?
After the game, the Buswells walked across the street back to the Capitol building. This time they hoped to get in for an official tour, another tradition they try to do when the time allows. Reporting next to the state Capitol building, I'm Jamie Deep.
For KFSK, I'm Taylor Heckert.